From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN Fresno, and I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12, chopping everything up in regards to all the good stuff that's happening in the central section. 75 degrees right now. Man, hasn't the weather just been odd? Yeah, that rain really threw me off, and that I thought it might be a, you know, just a light drizzle for an hour or two, but it kind of rained. It was a decent rain right in the middle of September. Pretty wild stuff. But, yeah, 75 degrees right now. Fresno State is kicking off at 9 o'clock tonight. That's pretty wild in Hawaii, in the islands. Lots of stuff to go over today. If you're unfamiliar with the show, every Saturday here at First String Sports, talk about high school sports. We are smack dab in the middle of football season, the halfway point for most of the teams as far as the first 10 games of the season. Obviously, there's going to be playoffs and Valley Championship games, Central Section Championship games, state playoffs, all that stuff to look forward to. Again, First String Sports, my day one sponsors. They are the absolute best, committed to the student athletes here in the Valley. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. And I say this every week because it's true. I wouldn't want to do my show anywhere else. The ambiance is fantastic here, surrounded by the school colors. And it never fails. Gosh, I'm looking out there. I see five or six Letterman's jackets laid out on the counters by the registers. The employees here are getting everything set up for the customers, getting the patches, taking pictures right now of the Letterman's jackets. Color schemes, whatever you want. They got it here. Hoover to my right, Edison to my right, Bullard, the four-school combo of Central, Selma, Woodlake, and Kalinga, that orange with the black, Sunnyside to my right, Clovis North behind me, Clovis High, Kingsburg, big win for Kingsburg last night, Clovis West, big win for the Golden Eagles as well, to my left, Madera, who finally lost a game, 4-1, they fell to Merced last night, we'll talk about that one, Sanger West, Sanger, a little bit of everybody here in the Central Valley. If you miss any part of the show, want to go back to the show or any of the shows on 1430 ESPN, go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcasts, and all the past episodes and shows will be on the website for you to download and listen to whenever you want. This is year five for me. Year five of the show. All the other shows are archived there on the website. Also want to give a shout out to Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They are a new sponsor of the show. They love their Clovis schools. They're located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. Also want to mention Raw Farms. We do a 1430 ESPN Student of the Week. Phil Bonatti does it every Thursday. We are all in on recognizing our 1430 ESPN Student Athletes of the Week. You get an interview with Phil. The coach comes in. Get one of those big checks. They get hooked up with some like zoo tickets and all kinds of good stuff. And then if you are named one of our athletes of the week, you get to go to a banquet at the end of the year. Last year, we brought it back last year. It was absolutely amazing. Anybody could be nominated as well. If you're a coach, an athletic director, even a teacher, grandma, grandpa, we don't care. Just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under Student Athlete of the Week, the nominations. We get all those. We look at the GPAs of all of them. We vote, and we come up with the winner. Cool stuff. Make sure you guys check that out. All right, so last night, Phil Bonatti and I, in our game of the week, traveled down south. Went to Visalia for our first show, our first broadcast at the Mineral King Bowl. Redwood, Homecoming, and Hanford. It's a rivalry. It's not like the big rivalry. It's not Hanford or Lemoore, Mount Whitney or Redwood. But it is, it's been a pretty historic rivalry. I didn't realize that that's actually the home of COS as well. I thought they had their own stadium on campus. I don't know why I didn't know that. But Mineral King Bowl, also home to Mount Whitney. It's a beautiful stadium. Capacity is 8,500. They bring some bleachers past the goalposts. Nice stadium, track and field. Events are held there as well. The water tower to our left. You can see the school in the background facing us. It's a great, great atmosphere to watch a football game. And I'm not kidding. It's probably the most amount of students and parents and spectators on the home side as I've seen in a long time. I mean, Central Section Championships, a lot of people come. But, gosh, last night's game was packed. All right, so going into the game, had lots of thoughts about it. Hanford and Redwood were both 2-2. Big game as far as seedings go for the playoffs and all that stuff. Lots of points have been put up by both teams this season so far. Like the crazy game that Redwood had against Tulare Union, 49-42 game. The Clovis North game that came down to the last couple minutes, and Hanford, right, opening season lost to Kennedy, then beat Sanger, lost to St. Joe's, and whooped up on LD. So, heck, we thought there was going to be a lot of points. Well, throw that out the window. It ended up being a 28-15 win for Redwood. Lot of self-inflicted wounds on Hanford's side. Four turnovers. Those turnovers and special teams mistakes led to 21 of the 28 points for Redwood. There's a blocked punt in the end zone recovered by Redwood. There was a pick six. There was a fumble on their own 3-yard line, which Redwood punched in. But despite all that, Hanford still had a chance to win the football game. Wasn't able to drive down the field and score the go-ahead touchdown. Redwood got a late touchdown. So the Rangers improved to 3-2. Hanford falls to 2-3. Phil's coming on the show later, around 11:30-ish, 35-ish. So Phil and I will chop up that game, talk about the high school ratings. The standings, or I should say the rankings, are updated. So if you go to highschoolratings.com, all the scores from last night have been calibrated into the rankings. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that. All right, so who else is coming on the show? What's going on for the next hour and 45 minutes-ish? After the break, I'll be breaking down these scores. Go to the high school ratings and just list the scores and throw out tidbits of information that I know about the games. So that's always a lot of fun. So that will be after the break. After that, we'll be chatting with Golden West coach Travis Anderson, sticking with the South Valley love. Trailblazers are 4-0 on the season. They had a bye last night. They're going to face Tehachapi next week. You got a good team. Good team. Most likely going to be one of the top seeds in D3, scoring a lot of points. Coach Anderson has really righted the ship there in Visalia. That four coaches in 4 years before Coach Anderson took over in 2022. He's a Bullard grad, too. Doing my research, I forgot about that, or I didn't know that, but he's a Bullard grad, played for Coach Arax, and now coaching against Arax, who's at CBC right now. So, yeah, I haven't talked to Coach Anderson on the show, so really looking forward to that. At the top of hour number two, Central Coach Kyle Biggs will be joining us via the telephone, as is Coach Anderson. Central East, number one preseason, number one on most people's rankings. Last night, a little bit tougher game than we had anticipated. Liberty. Yes, that Liberty down in Bakersfield, 0-4. Buchanan beat them the week before. Central East, the only loss was to Grant up in Grant. Central East returning a lot of their dudes, strong team, and they barely hold on, 35-33. That game was 35-20 at one point, I think early in the fourth. Liberty scored. There was a turnover, and Liberty made it very, very interesting. Coach Kyle Biggs is one of my favorite guys to talk to. A lot of fun. and he is an absolute straight shooter. So I don't know how he's going to frame this game. I anticipate he wasn't really happy driving home from Visalia. And so that's going to be a fun conversation. Coach Biggs, he's one of the best. He's one of the best. And how about this? He's been to the Central Grizzlies / Central East Bengals. Have been to 7 of the last 8 Central Section Championship games. Pretty darn impressive. Also want to mention, before we hit the break, I did mention Phil Bonanni's coming on. We're going to be talking about high school sports, high school football, after the first 5 weeks. I need to mention this, because this man, John Anabo, passed away earlier this week, is one of the Valley favorites, just an icon, a legendary figure. Remember, John was on KMJ broadcasting Fresno State football, basketball games with Bob Woodward. Played on the 1961 team that went 10-0, the last undefeated football team for Fresno State. Created Jeff Tedford. He was part of the Dog Talk, Countdown to Kickoff, Bulldog Review, all those things for KMJ. And just a legendary guy, super nice guy, coached at Bullard as well. Just ingrained in the Central Valley. Played in the Canadian Football League. But one of the things I remember listening to John, KMJ, is just his honest opinions, right? When things were going good, things were going good. When things were going bad, right? He had a certain way to try to correct the Bulldogs, what the Bulldogs needed to do better. And his insight into games was exceptional. I just remember listening to KMJ, listening to Bob Woodard and to him as a teenager, as a young man. Growing up in Dinuba, California, KMJ was a strong signal. Heck, it went all the way up into the Bay Area. And listening late at night, 11 o'clock, I had my little stereo by my bedroom, by my bed, and would listen to them. And just kind of be in awe, man, how can John just know so much about the game? And his insights were just incredible. So one of the greats has passed away. Bob Woodward passed away a few years ago. John Anabo, just a great guy in the Valley. So just wanted to give him some love as well. All right, we'll take a break right now. I'm going to be breaking down the games, giving you a list of all the action from Thursday night and from Friday night. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, this is the part of the show where I try to get in as much as possible in as little amount of time. I do my best. Rapid fire sometimes on these scores. I'll interject on some information that I got. But there were some wild and wacky scores last night. A lot of things surprised me. I talked a little bit about the Redwood and Hanford game that we broadcasted last night and how, I thought there was going to be a lot of points. Even joke, what, first to 50? And that certainly didn't happen. But a lot of scores surprised us from last night. Few upsets, games that were a little bit closer than we had anticipated. Again, it's high school football, right? You never know what will happen in high school football. There were some games on Thursday. There were 3 games that were played. Cabrillo defeated Taft 62-7. Clovis defeated Bullard at McLean 35-0. So we talked about the rain. That was kind of an ugly-ish game. I heard guys were slipping all over the field. The ball was wet. Bullard, they'll go as their quarterback goes. And I just think it was tough sledding for Bullard in that game. Clovis, did what they normally do. Balanced offense, rushed for a couple touchdowns. Deegan Rose threw for a couple. So Clovis on Thursday defeats Bullard. Most of the track teams, actually only Buchanan had a bye. So Buchanan does play Paso Robles next week. But all the other – oh, no, Clovis North plays Frontier. I'll get to that in just a second. But Clovis has a bye before taking on Buchanan at La Monica next week. Porterville defeated Highland 46-13. So in last night's score, there are actually 3 leagues that started – Started league play. East Sequoia, Granite Hills defeated Corcoran 43-32. Orosi and Farmersville, how about this one? 62-30, 92 points total. And that one, Strathmore shut out Orange Cove 41-0. This is one of those games that was a little bit tighter than I had anticipated. Woodlake only defeated Lindsay 22-14. Woodlake 4-0 now, came in 3-0. Actually 5-0, came in 4-0. We're scoring like 45 points a game against some decent competition. Lindsay 0-3. Right? We know that their incredible run last season, but ended up being 22-14. So good job by Lindsay making adjustments and making the Tigers sweat a bit. In North Yosemite action, Hoover defeated Madera South on the road 51-20. Good win for the Patriots. Excellent win for them. McLean, in one of their toughest games of the year, it's going to be one of their toughest games of the season, defeated Sunnyside 35-14. Roosevelt, they keep winning football games. Defeated Sanger West 34-0. Torres defeated Fresno High 40-13. In Northwest Sequoia action, Fowler beat Parlier 40-6. Liberty Madera 40, Carruthers 21. Coach Nolte has another good team. They got a really good running back. That was our 1430 Student Athlete of the Week last week. Good stuff by them. Minarets. So I got to look at the schedule when Minarets and 30 play each other. That's going to be a good game. 48, Riverdale, nothing. So here are considered the non-league games. Aurora Grande, 64. Rigetti, 35. Gosh, a lot of points in that one. Bakersfield Christian, 47. Stockdale, 0. Darren Carr and his squad, are they the best team in Bakersfield? There's four really good teams, in my opinion. They just might be. Stockdale, what's going on with them? Tough sledding for them. So Darren Carr, the coach, you know, Dave played at Stockdale. So there's some Carr connection down there in Bakersfield. Bishop over the Central Grizzlies, 54-0. And Central East, there's that 35-33 game at Liberty. Coach Kyle Biggs is going to be coming on after 11 o'clock. We'll be breaking down that game, but it certainly wasn't easy. Central East had to hold on for dear life to win that football game. Chavez defeated South of Bakersfield 19-16. Chowchilla all over Boron 41-12. God, that seems like a long trip. I got to check the mileage on that one. Big distance. Clovis East and Lemoore. Lemoore, good football team. Coach Campbell is doing a really good job. Clovis East almost beat Grant on the road, who beat Central East. So I was expecting Central East or Clovis East to win, 30-7, 35-7, something like that. They actually had a 23-7 lead. And the Tigers kept grinding. They actually had a chance. They were driving to take the lead late in the fourth quarter. There was a pick six. Cordy Colbert had a pick six and made the final 30-19. So that game was a lot closer than the score indicated. Delano defeated East Bakersfield 65-13. Tinuba, how about them Emperors, defeated Washington Union 42-26. So three straight wins for Tinuba after losing to Sanger and Golden West to open up their season. Had a great win against Kingsburg. Went again last week, and then just a nice win against the Panthers, who beat Justin Garza. A lot of these, this team beat that team, but this team beat that team. A lot of stuff like that going on so far this season. Tough to figure out where these rankings are. I guess that's why they have the computer rankings, so we don't have to figure this stuff out. Fireball defeated Del Oro 21-14. Foothill, Bakersfield 54. Rosemont 30. Justin Garza pulls out a nice win, 27-24 over Lompoc. Golden Valley defeated McFarland's first loss on the season, 40-29. This score was a lot closer than I thought. Emmanuel only defeated Avenel 14-0. I thought that game was going to be like a 35-42-0 type game, but Eagles only scoring two touchdowns. Kennedy of Delano with a really good win against Independence of Bakersfield, 21-6. I heard that the Kennedy defense really stuffed the Independent offense. They couldn't get anything going. There was only a late touchdown for Independent. So another good win for Kennedy. They lost to Buchanan, beat Hanford in week one. So, yeah, they're going to be a force in the playoffs. Kermit all over Dos Palos, 42-9. Got to get Damon Jenkins on the show pretty quick. Kern Valley over Miramonte, 42-21. And how about this score? Kingsburg defeated Sanger 14-0. Shutout football from the Vikings. Driving back from Visalia last night, called up Coach Wilson. I'm like, dude, what a win. How'd you guys do it? He's like, hey, man, we just met him at the line of scrimmage. We were hitting hard. We were matching their offensive line in the trenches. Our D-line took on their O-line, and the linebackers came and scrapped it up. So nice win for Coach Wilson and the Kingsburg Vikings. So, again, there's that. Dinuba beat Kingsburg, right? Sanger beat Dinuba, but Kingsburg beat Sanger. A lot of those things happening, but good win from the Vikings. Mission Oak beat LD 41-12. Menachi over Hanford West 34-0. Paso over Atascadero. Paso and Buchanan play next week 49-14. Our game that we broadcasted, Redwood 28, Hanford 15. Reedley beat Selma by 5, 19-14. SLO over Morro Bay 49-35. Shafter and Edison. A game that we talked a little bit on Phil's show on Friday. It's a game that we never thought we'd be scheduled 10, 15 years ago. Shafter, one of the best teams down south, regardless of division, 42, Edison 25. Tough to know what was true on Max Prep. Sometimes that scoreboard gets a little wonky. Get some weird people on there to put scores that don't make sense. So that is a final. So Shafter defeats Edison of Fresno. St. Joseph, be careful of these guys, man. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. 35, Centennial 7, Tranquility. I don't have that score. Tranquility and Sierra. Tulare Union 48, Ridgeview 15. So Tulare Union with their usual over 40 points scored in a football game. Bakersfield defeated Dorsey of Los Angeles 37-0. Clovis North 43, San Ramon Valley 14. We're going to be broadcasting Clovis North and Frontier next week. Really looking forward to that football game. But I'm going to bring in Tanvir, who is producing my show, doing a fantastic job as always, especially with the music. But he knows a little bit about football as well. So Tanvir was at that game. So break that game down for us. You said we were talking off air that it was a very competitive first half. Big play at the end of the first half, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, launched Clovis North to a dominant second half. So kind of walk us through that game, your expectations, and what you saw on the field.
Yeah, so coming into this game, I think it was pretty apparent that the Clovis North Broncos were going to try and run this football as much as they wanted to, and they certainly did. You had some great performances from J.R. Cruz and Carson Steeler. Not just one running back, but two. And it was close, definitely. You know, you had a back-and-forth affair. It was 21-14 at the end of half. But that big play you were talking about, right? Like, this being back-and-forth, I was like, this is going to be a very close game throughout the entire game. But this was 14-14 with a couple of seconds left in the second quarter. And then you saw, with 6 seconds left, it was fourth and goal. Clovis North's coaching staff deciding to go for it with 6 seconds left, and they had a nice jet sweep to Tyree Sams, who is going to Cal. He ran it in for, he got a little touch pass and got it in for the touchdown. So that was kind of the big play for this second half, and I think that's kind of what catapulted Clovis North to kind of run away with this game starting in the second half. Some things I just wanted to go over. This was clearly just an identity difference of a game. Like, Clovis North, clearly the run-heavy team. San Ramon Valley, by contrast, was a pass-heavy team for sure. And the explosive plays in this game were abundant, right? Clovis North having 7 plays of 20-plus yards, and a lot of that has to do with that running game. So for all this talk that the running game is real, I can say for myself that it is for sure real in this game. And Clovis North had an effective game throughout this entire stretch, and it was just a complete performance, in my opinion. The one thing I will say, that offensive line for Clovis North, very, yeah, very good, but they did commit a lot of penalties in this game, and I think if they have something to improve, it's certainly that. A lot of them being offensive lines, silly false start penalties, but they'll get that fixed for sure. Because when the ball does get snapped, they're opening up gaps for these two running backs, and it was lights out in this game for sure.
Yeah, I was actually one of the questions I had for you about Clovis North. I haven't seen Clovis East live or Clovis North. The offensive line play, I heard, is really good. So, are they athletic? Are they big? They just know their assignments, a little bit of all that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think that the biggest thing that I saw from them was they were able to get to the second level so quickly, being able to get off of their original blocks and getting up to the second level to give their running backs the space to get bigger gains. And when you have the speed that the Clovis North has at the running back position in that dual threat, because again, it's not just one running back, it's two. I think that that's the biggest positive that I got out of this offensive line.
Yeah. So J.R. Cruz is a sophomore running back.
Yep.
He had 623 yards before coming into that game. Like, what's his MO? Is he big? Is he know how to hit the holes? He got a burst of speed. What's his deal?
It's maybe a cop out answer, but this guy has kind of like a little bit of everything. I saw him running over people. I saw him, you know, breaking tackles, but also having the elusiveness and the top end speed. So this guy coming into this game had 120 plus yards in every game this season, and he destroyed that in this game. So let's see if that continues in the next game. We got a little bit of a streak going at this point. He's got four straight games of 120 plus yards. It's just exceptional what he was able to do for his size, being able to just shed blocks or shed tackles, I should say, at the rate that he did in this game was so impressive.
So you felt like the running game set up the passing game. The passing game would, you know, just be more opportunistic. Is that how you looked at it?
Yeah, well, the passing game, I think it's still getting there. There was only 10 completions from quarterback Lucas Smith in this game, and it's not a lack of not trying. Like, they are trying to hit these deep balls over the middle of the field. I remember they started the game with two, like, just deep slot streak plays, and they weren't able to hit them. But being able to get that running game going, you saw that it was opening up the space in the back end for this passing game for sure. So I think if the connection is there from the beginning, this team can be very dangerous, because that balance would be so difficult to deal with if you are a defense.
All right, so just thinking about the track, Tanvir, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit now that you've okay. seen a lot of track schools. So Buchanan, Clovis West, Clovis Central East, and Clovis East. Like, is there even a comp to one of those schools as far as the style of offense or, you know, the offensive line, or are they just kind of their own identity? How would you compare them to the other schools?
I mean, for me personally, I've only seen, what is it, Central East, I've seen Clovis West, I've seen Clovis North, and then I've seen Clovis High. So yeah. out of those teams, this for sure is the most efficient running game, I would say, out of all of those teams. I think that of those teams that I've seen, this is definitely the one team that I think can break open any front seven if they have the ability to, for sure. So I think they're kind of in their own territory in terms of that, but once I see Clovis East, once I see Buchanan, maybe I'll have a little bit better of a idea about that.
One last thing before I let you go. Good job by you so far. Clovis North defense, like you mentioned, pass happy with San Ramon Valley. How do you feel they were defensively? A lot of blitzing or stepping back in a zone or setting their guys up with man-to-man coverages? What did you see defensively?
Yeah, so in the first half, I think the pass defense was definitely getting tested. Both of the touchdowns that San Ramon Valley had were both passing TDs, and it was these post routes from the outside that were getting into the space between the linebackers and the safeties, and they were really testing that part of the field. But once we got into the second half, Clovis North actually on offense sped up the rate of play, and so San Ramon Valley their offense didn't necessarily have time, I would say, to kind of set up what they were doing. I think they were pretty impressive in terms of getting down the field, but they weren't able to convert in that second half. So Clovis North's defense, their defensive line, they had three sacks in this game. They played pretty well, and they got timely sacks as well, and they got two interceptions. One of them was a wild one where it kind of bounced off of the San Ramon Valley wide receiver who legitimately had a touchdown in his hands, and it kind of just bounced off of his hands, and it ricocheted back into a Clovis North player. So, you know, just being there at the right place at the right time. But the other interception was a pretty impressive one on a fourth down. So this team has the tools on defense to do very well, very good things down the line.
All right. Good job by you, Tavir. Good synopsis of the game. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. So we'll get eyeballs next week as we broadcast Clovis North and Frontier. Looking forward to seeing them. A couple more scores here from last night. Clovis West all over Turlock, 54-7. Turlock having some internal problems. They are now 1-4. They had some ineligibility issues. Even before the season started, a lot of guys were deemed ineligible by the CIF, Sac Joaquin section. But Clovis West went in there and took care of business. They got TDs from at least six different guys, a pick six from RJ Jefferson, a 70-yard punt return from a freshman, Amir Wright. So a lot of points of plenty for Clovis West before they hit the bye week and then start track play. Looking down here, let's see. Lincoln of San Diego defeated Frontier 31-14. Lincoln was ranked, I believe, ninth in the state by Cal High Sports. That game was pretty close early, but it looks like Lincoln pulled away from that one. And Merced defeated Madera 43-34. So the first loss for Madera this season before they hit the bye and then start CMAC play. All right, so there's a wrap-up from the scores from the last couple days in the Central section. We'll take a break. We're going to hear from Golden West coach Travis Anderson. Trailblazers are 4-0 on the season. I haven't talked to coach before, so really looking forward to that and hope you guys are too. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Continuing with our South Valley love this week. Last night we broadcasted Hanford and Redwood. We have Travis Anderson, the head coach at Golden West in Visalia, on the line right now. Trailblazers are 4-0 after defeating Aurora Grande, who put up a ton of points last night. Dinuba, who's on a hot streak, so nice win for Golden West against the Emperors, Mission Oak, and North. So good morning, Coach. How are you?
Paul, I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. So you had a bye last night, and I'm always curious on how coaches approach their bye. Do you go out scouting? Do you, bring your coaches along? Or you have different coaches at different games? How do you usually spend your Friday on a bye?
Traditionally, Fridays on the bye, coaches kind of go to multiple games. It's an opportunity for us to kind of get away and, see some different football and, send some guys to some different places and to see some guys live that we haven't seen thus far. There's a group of us that we'll try to pick one of the big games and kind of go try to watch that one and kind of just do a little bit of coaches bonding and hanging out. So it's kind of how we kind of separate it.
So where were you at last night? What game did you check out?
So last night I was definitely at the Redwood Hanford game. last night I wanted to check that one out, so following along with that one.
All right. And are you like the typical coaches? When I see coaches at games, they usually like to sit off by themselves, sometimes, off in a corner. Is that kind of how you guys work it?
Absolutely. We want our presence known, but we also want to kind of, sit off to the side and, not take away any of the focus on the game.
Absolutely. All right. So did that game and on the radio, but it was our first time to the Mineral King Bowl and great atmosphere for a football game. Obviously, Redwood's homecoming added a lot to everything there. I didn't realize that COS played there and Mount Whitney played there. Where do you guys play your home game and who else has home stadiums there in Visalia?
Yeah. So, Paul, I should correct you on that one. You were right initially earlier when you said the COS does have their own stadium. So COS a couple years ago had built their own stadium on their campus.
But there, all right.
That, yeah, COS did play there at the Merrill King Bowl. So right now the Merrill King Bowl is home stadium to Redwood and to Mount Whitney. Visalia Community Stadium is on Golden West campus, and we share that stadium with El Diamante.
Got it. Okay, sounds good. After four games, we're going to get into specific aspects of your offense. But after the four games this year, how would you assess your team's performance? What do you think's working? What would you like to get better at?
I think there's a lot of things that we're doing right now. Understanding of our offense, it all runs through our junior quarterback Jaden Nahara. This being his third year in the system, he's starting to really understand the aspects and the concepts that we're trying to get him to understand, and what his reads are. And so everything really runs through him. And being a junior, third year on varsity, leading the team, he's got great leadership abilities. And guys just gravitate to him and follow him. And so starting with them, and then we have some dynamic players, on the outside that obviously can help him. But, everything is through Jaden.
And this prolific offense that you guys have installed, I know Coach Machado does a really good job with that. How would you describe it if people went to a Golden West football game? Would they see spread? Would they see everything in shotgun? How would you describe your offense?
Yeah, we would be a no-huddle spread team out of the gun. We run a lot of tempo stuff, and I think that's what, it helps us a lot is that we can wear a team down, running a lot of plays. And I think I would, attribute, I know we could probably get into this, but I think I attribute a lot to our game versus Aurora Grande. I think we ran 80 offensive plays. I think they actually 82 offensive plays in that game. So when you can wear a team down by running so many plays at a high tempo, that really, it hurts some teams and really helps us and benefits us.
Would you describe it as a quick strike offense or, like you said, just trying to wear teams down, take what the defense has given you? Is that how you guys frame it?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on the year, what we have out either wide receiver or at running back. I think a lot of the people like to, explain Coach Machado's offense as like an air raid offense. But we're going to kind of take what the defense is going to give us. The last couple of years we had a receiver or two that have been able to stretch the field, and so we're going to take advantage of that when the opportunity arises. Or we'll take, everybody's going to expect us to pass. We're going to run with our quarterback, who's such a dynamic player. So we're kind of all over the place. We're going to take what the defense gives us.
And you're the defensive coordinator, right? You're calling defensive plays?
Yes, sir. I am the defensive coordinator.
So when you have an offense that's able to put up points, right? People like offense. You talk about the quarterback. You talk about the running backs and receivers. But sometimes in those situations, a defense can be overlooked, right? And, what do you like about your defensive unit?
I love, the aspect of our defense, with a prolific offense like that we have, enables us to run a little bit more pressure packages. Traditionally we can score quick and we'll get up on somebody, so it allows us, to kind of play with the lead and lets us be a little bit more aggressive on those things. And so I love just being able to bring the pressure and have guys understand and want to run around and hit somebody and create turnovers. That's what our whole defense was predicated on. And so we're kind of complementary to, football, in that aspect.
Absolutely. And I heard you have some brothers that are wreaking havoc on defense. Am I right on that?
I do. I have twin brothers. Riley and Rowan Collins, one plays defensive end and one plays strong side safety for me. Those guys are the three-year varsity guys, and they are just, when you think of a football player, it's those guys. Just hard-nosed, great kids, great leaders, just great people to be around.
Absolutely, yeah. I heard good stuff about them last night at the game, right? Talking about South Valley football, we got Coach Anderson, the head coach at Golden West, on the line right now. His team is 4-0. They're going to be playing Tehachapi next week. I'm curious about football in Tulare County right now in the South Valley before you get to Bakersfield. I feel like it's up this year. I feel like we need to talk about you guys more. You and your coaching staff and maybe some other coaches that you talk to, you guys kind of get that feeling that Visalia football, Tulare County football is up this season?
Yeah, I would say that we're up this season. I wouldn't say much more up than previous seasons. I think that sometimes, you know, so I think we are kind of overlooked in the South Valley. You know, we go, you know, Fresno, Bakersfield. We're kind of stuck there in the middle. You know, we're not one of those, you know, the big time schools, you know, that are traditionally, you know, on the radar. But I do think things in our area, you know, are very, you know, up this year. I think, you know, you look at the three Tulare schools right now, they're all having really good seasons. A couple of the Visalia schools have really good seasons. CDC, who doesn't really get thrown in there very much, they traditionally have really good seasons. So there is some very good football that's played here in Tulare County. There's some great athletes that come out of this, you know, this area as well. And so, but I would agree with you that we are up and, you know, we're turning some heads this year, and hopefully we can keep that and elevate everybody else that's around us and understand that, hey, Tulare County is here and we're on the map and, you know, we're ready to play some football.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I wanted to bring you on, and that's one of the reasons why we broadcast that Hanford and Redwood game last night. Let's talk about your time at Golden West. Before you took over the program, there were four coaches in 4 years. You've provided a great amount of stability to the program. Like, how were you able to right this ship, culture-wise, weight room-wise, like just kind of a combination of those things?
I'd say a combination of those things. I think it all starts with my administration, my principal, and my athletic director. When I was hired, you know, I had very clear standards of this. This is what I wanted to do. I told them, you know, hey, the weight room program is very important to me. And so having a zero period, you know, where I have all my varsity kids in zero period, and then I have three other class periods throughout the day where I have my freshmen and my JV teams as well. And so every kid that's in our program is in a weight training class with me every single day. And so we're able to accomplish a lot through that. But again, providing stability, you know, for a lot of these kids, it was, you know, coming in was a very difficult situation for me, you know, being a first-time head coach, coming there and, you know, having clear standards and making sure that my guys understood those. And, you know, there were some bumps in the road, but I think that we're starting to understand and right the ship and go in the direction. We all have a clear goal and standard in mind of where we want to be. And, you know, kids have bought into that, you know, the discipline and structure, which I believe that all kids, you know, desire. I think it's there, and we do have a definite buy-in in our program.
That's awesome. Are there freshman programs in your league, or is it strictly JV and varsity?
No, all four of the comprehensive high schools here in Visalia all have freshman teams. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes us competitive over the last few years is because all three level, or all four comprehensive high schools have freshman programs that traditionally do very, very well. They have good numbers, you know. So I would say, like right now, my freshman football team, we have 51 players on our roster. Wow. On our freshman level. And I know that there's some other schools, you know, either north of us or south of us that don't have the numbers. So we've been very blessed here in Visalia with the numbers and be able to have a freshman, a JV, and a varsity squad.
Absolutely. Oh, man, that's fantastic. That's great news. We got a couple minutes here with you, Coach. So you're a Buller guy. You're a Buller grad, played for Coach Arax before playing at COS and Humboldt. And, again, thanks for correcting me on the COS stuff. I'm definitely not beyond reproach. I could take owning my mistakes. Like, what are some cool memories that you have playing for Buller and back in those days? You got a memory or maybe a specific rivalry game that you can share with us?
You know, going to high school, Bullard High School, and being able to, you know, play for, you know, Coach Arax, you know, the amazing thing. I think the rivalry games between us and Clovis, and during that time where, you know, Bullard and Hoover at that time were very competitive matchups. And so those, I think, the Battle of Barstow matchups were, you know, some of my greatest moments. But, you know, being able to go and play at Clovis High School and the rivalry and seeing how fired up Coach Arax would get for those games, I think those are some of my greatest memories, you know, about my high school career.
And you're a defensive guy. So what was, like, one big blow that you remember, or maybe an interception or a big play for you on defense back in those days?
It would definitely be my junior year of high school, you know, playing in the Battle of Barstow, and I wound up having two interceptions that game. And you know, Coach Arax is, you know, an animated character on the sidelines. Being able to come to the sidelines and celebrate with him was, you know, a definite, you know, memory of mine that I will never forget.
Where was that game played at?
We actually played that one at McLean High School.
Okay.
You know, on their field. And so.
Yeah. And how many times have you faced Arax as a coach? You faced him last year?
So last year was my first time facing him, being able to coach against him. You know, we played in the, you know, semifinals of the, you know, Division II playoffs last year. And it was a very surreal moment for me. It's like, hey, this guy coached me, and now I'm getting to coach against him. And, you know, that was, you know, it came full circle for me. He and I have a really great relationship, great working relationship. We spent a lot of time on the phone talking to each other, bouncing things off of each other. And so to have a mentor like that for all these years, it's just been a spectacular thing. And still seeing him coaching and having the energy that he does, still getting it, it's like, it is that surreal moment watching him and, you know, remembering the moments that I had and now watching him coach his kids now. You know, it's a great experience, and he's a great individual to have as a mentor.
And you got to celebrate with him getting two picks in the Battle of Barstow. Good memory, Travis. Hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Wish you had more time. You're doing a great job there in Visalia. So, again, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Travis Anderson, head coach at Golden West. We'll take a break here, and we're going to bring on Coach Kyle Biggs in about 5 minutes. Excited to hear from Coach Biggs, the head coach at Central East. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
All right, hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader, dedicated to all the good stuff that's happening in the Central section. We got Central East head coach Kyle Biggs on the line right now. Bengals are 4-1 entering the bye after defeating Liberty Bakersfield 35-33 on the road. They are the defending D1 champs, and you know all about their incredible runs that they've had. 7 out of the last eight Central Section championships they have been in, winning 4 total on the road. Trying to get number 5. Coach Biggs, first of all, thanks for joining us this morning. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself, Paul?
I'm doing great. All right, so I you know, you got your family. They're involved in sports. It's the day after a game. Is your Saturday lined up with stuff? You got some games later tonight maybe? Like, what's going on Saturday?
Yeah, my son's got a Pop Warner game. Got to do some pitching with my daughter. That's up next.
Is it pitching lessons, or are you squatting down and catching her, or what's that look like?
I'm sitting on a bucket. I can't squat anymore, so I sit on a bucket and catch her.
Those days are over, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So last night, just kind of walk us through the game expectations wise. I know you guys went up 35-20 at one point. A couple slip-ups late in that game. Just expectations going in, execution-wise, how you feel like the team performed?
Just not to our expectations. You know, we just made too many self-inflicted mistakes. You know, missed tackles, missed sacks, offensive penalties putting us in the hole, had a touchdown called back that would have put us up 42-20. Blew a couple coverages. It wasn't one thing. It was just kind of everybody taking, everyone having mistakes, and just doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. So it wasn't, 11 guys all on the same page, which is, you know, what we're supposed to be doing.
Despite the win after the game, what was the mood in the locker room? Was it like, hey, you know, a win's a win? Or like, guys, we got to get better. We got to improve all these things if we want to be a really good football team this season.
We got to improve. We got to practice better. We got to tackle better. We got to do little things better. We don't do the little things. We're too worried about the big picture, and we're not going to get anything we want unless we start working harder. And unfortunately, you know, teams don't learn that until they lose. So hopefully this is a wake-up call for the guys, and they understand that, you know, what we're doing is not right. We got to change how hard we work and our effort at practice, and we'll start to see a difference on the field.
What's practice going to look like on Monday?
Monday will be film and probably some conditioning since it's the bye week. Got a little banged up last night, so we gotta get healthy. So bye weeks are stupid. I mean, they're just not. Usually got team pitchers, so we got film one day, team pitchers the next day, and then we'll try to get a couple good practices in. You know, got 2 weeks to prepare for a good close North team. So it's just a mixture of everything this week, trying to get better, but trying to rest and stay healthy.
So I want to go back a little bit, Coach, about to the game last night against Liberty. Who did make good plays for you guys? How did you guys score your touchdowns? Who stood out for you?
Jelani Dipple played really well, made a lot of good throws, made a huge clutch throw, getting sacked, going against his body late in the game on a 3rd and 13 that gave us a first down that kind of helped us run some more time off the clock. Bayon Harris was a monster. Brandon was good till he went down. Defensively, our nose guard, Caleb O'Hanna, was doing a good job of getting after it. Andrew Garcia played really hard. And our problem right now is we don't have 11 guys playing hard at the same time. Not necessarily playing hard, but we don't have 11 guys doing their job at the same time. So we had a ton of guys run the wrong route, missed block, missed assignment, just self-inflicted things that shouldn't be happening in week 5 because we're not doing a good enough job paying attention to detail. And that's on me. I'm the one in charge. So if I'm not fixing it, I'm allowing it to happen. And you know, we got to stop hurting ourselves and just make the simple plays.
You said that the buys are stupid, right? Is there ever a good time for a buy? Is this a good time for a buy in the season? Or like, man, I really, really want to get after it this week, but it's kind of hard because, you know, there's no game to look forward to on Friday?
You know, stupid is the wrong word. They're just so...
unnecessary or like, right? Like, how do you frame it?
It's like a necessary evil.
Yeah.
You need it, but like during the week, it's like you're trying to be smart, but you want to do certain things. But then you got team pitchers. Well, we always have team pitchers in our bye week. You got a day of film, and then do you practice on Friday? Do you take Friday off? Like, how do you? So it's always just, you know, depending on how the week goes and how hard the kids work, you kind of make that decision as the week goes on. So there's just a necessary evil.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to frame it. And then you do play Clovis North, and that's one of those Thursday games that you have in the track this year. I want to talk about the overall assessment looking back now at your 5 games. So open up with that win against Englewood, lose to Grant on the road, and then Turlock, Edison, Stockton, and then last night's game were all victories. Like, how would you assess this team after 5 games? Let's go grade-wise. What grade would you give the squad after 5 games so far?
We're C, average. We're a roller coaster. We're not consistent, and championship football teams are if anything consistent. So until we get consistent, you know, we're just an average football team.
Brandon Smith, one of the top players in the state of California, two-way guy, headed to Arizona. Gosh, his performance the last half of last season was absolutely phenomenal on both sides of the football. Just talk about him as a player, what he brings to the table. I know you've coached a lot of great dudes over your years, but he's a pretty special kid, isn't he?
He is. He's a playmaker. He's battling through some injuries right now, and he's still playing. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy when the lights turn on, he knows how to play.
Is there a play of, you know, over the last few years from him that pops in your mind? I think of that strip sack, fumble return for a touchdown in the state playoff game. That was against St. Ignatius, right? That one pops in my mind, a couple runs that you had. But, like, is there a play that pops in your mind for you?
I mean, the strip sack was pretty phenomenal. The touchdown run he had in the Valley Championship game, when we didn't even block the middle linebacker, and he still just ran right by him, and then just sprinted to the end zone and took away everyone's angle. He had a 90-yard run versus Garza last year that was pretty impressive. He had an 80-yard run versus Grant this year, where we really didn't block anybody and he just did what he does. There's a lot of things he does. Last night he made a play out of nowhere when we blew coverage and there was a guy wide open and he comes out of nowhere and bats the ball away right before the kid's about to catch it, you know. There's a few plays that stick out.
And Jelani Dipple, you mentioned him. He made a pretty impressive throw last night, falling down and getting the ball out of his hands. 69% of his passes that he had completed before last night's game, a 12-2 touchdown to interception ratio. His progression, again, right? I kind of point to after that, after that Clovis North game, that loss that you guys had. I felt like he really took off. Like, what's been impressive to you on your side as his coach? Because I know how hard you are on your quarterbacks, especially. What's his progression been like for you?
Just his toughness, man. That kid's got a lot of heart. He's probably the toughest kid on our team. I've seen that kid take some shots, and he just gets up and moves on to the next play and makes the next play. Very resilient kid, very, very tough-minded kid, and just shows a lot of heart, a lot of grit. Works really hard at his craft, studies the game really well, and his mental part of the game is really starting to pick up. To where he we're on the same page. He's doing what I'm thinking, and he's making all the right reads and all the right throws.
And I noticed on Max Preps, like, you're getting your freshman some reps too, throwing a couple touchdown passes. So you got a freshman waiting in the wings.
Yeah, you know, Kit's a guy, and it's funny because if you saw those two standing next to each other, you would think Kit was.
That's right.
And Jelani was a freshman. Kit's real good. He really doesn't even know what he's doing yet, and he's phenomenal. So once he learns the game and picks up on the speed of the game, he's gonna be very talented.
Speaking of talent, Bayon Harris, you mentioned he was a dude last night. Gosh, I remember seeing him last year as a sophomore. He's made a huge leap this year. He's had to be, right? He's had to be the guy. Got a couple of injuries at the wide receiver position. What confidence level with him when you call his number? Like, you know he's going to make a play. You know he's going to make a big play. Is that where you're at with him?
Yeah, I mean, anytime, you know, we're getting the ball to Bayon, or trying to get the ball to Bayon, I have complete confidence he's going to go make. Like last night on a read that wasn't even supposed to go to him, Jelani came to him as a third option. It was a really good read by Jelani. And as he's running the route, it looks funny. And then when you watch it on film, you notice his shoulder pads hanging out because the DB just ripped his jersey. Of course, we don't get a flag for holding on that with Bakersfield officiating. And the DB ends up ahead of him. And not only does he make the catch, he wiggles out for what we thought was a touchdown, but he stepped out at the 11. He's a beast, man. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. You know, he can body kids up, but when you try to press, if you play off, he can run by you. He's a really good wide receiver. He takes pride in his blocking. He's a really, really good blocker, real physical blocker. So I'm real proud of the way he's been getting better, and you know, he's still got things he can get better at, and he's going to continue to work to try to be better. And it's scary to think he's only a junior.
Is he like a legit, 6'3", 180, 190? What is he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 190, 195, legit 6'3". Yeah.
And strange things always happen when our Fresno Clovis schools travel down to Bakersfield and, either playing on a weird field, weird ref calls. What are some experiences you've had, like just different experiences traveling down to Bakersfield and playing in football games? You feel like you're already down to touchdown sometimes?
Yeah. When I was playing in high school, they called a penalty on me for holding.
Being the quarterback.
Yeah. They said holding on number 11. In that same game, we threw a touchdown on fourth down. The ref threw a flag and told us, not today, boys. But last night, they had a false start. Their receiver flinches, and they don't call it. we miss a tackle and it ends up being a touchdown. It's like, well, we don't call false starts. Like, we can't, you're not allowed to flinch like that. Oh, I didn't see it. Of course you didn't see it. So it's always something. It's just, it's Bakersfield.
Yeah, strength things always happen when we go down to Bakersfield. So what I'm curious about how you feel the Thursday game. So I mentioned playing Clovis East on a Thursday. Then you play Clovis North on Thursday, then Clovis East at home, Clovis West on Thursday. Gosh, it looks like all your away games are on Thursdays. How does that roll with you?
Hey, it's Clovis Unified, man. Character counts, right? Every for the last 10 years, every away league game we have to play on Thursday so a Clovis school can play on Friday. And what's funny is we bring more of a crowd than some Clovis schools bring, and you'd make more money on a Friday night, but they're so just set in their ways that it has to be a Clovis game on Friday night and Central has to play on Thursday night that they're actually doing their schools a disservice by making more money. But, hey, it's Clovis Unified, right?
I guess. Do you feel like for 10 years. Kyle, after all the accolades and Central Section championships and the state title, do you feel like Central East and Central Unified still gets a little slighted, like your programs, you know, don't get the respect that you deserve?
It's Clovis Unified in the track. There's five Clovis Unified schools. There's one Central school. So it doesn't – it's always 5-on-1. We're the redheaded stepchild. It's the way it is.
Is that type of noise, like what type of noise, like really lights a fire under you?
I mean, it's not disrespect. It's just, you know, we're better when we have a chip on our shoulder, when we play a little angry like we did at the end of last year, you know, and right now we don't have that chip. I think we've been listening to the press clippings a little too much or reading the press clippings a little too much about how good we are and what the expectations are instead of the work that needs to be put in to get those, to reach those expectations. So it's, you know, Clovis Unified wants to make us play on Thursday nights. Hey, in 10 years, we've played, 30, 40 games on Thursday nights. Their schools have played like 6. So we know how to prepare for Thursday nights. We're used to it. They're not. So, I mean, they think it's a disservice to us, but they're really disservicing themselves. And now that we have three schools, in Central Unified playing, hey, some of our league games might be on Thursday nights now too, and you know they're gonna have to play on Thursday nights and get used to it.
That might be the case moving forward. What are you hearing, Kyle, about future realignment? Is the track gonna be the track in a couple years? Like, what are you hearing about league realignments?
So, as far as I understand, next year they're forming a super conference. So it's going to be kind of how the CMAC and the NYL is right now. And it's going to be the track, the CMAC, and the NYL all combined. And that's now going to make 4 leagues. There'll be 2 NYL teams or leagues, NYL1 and NYL2. We were real clever with that. And then the CMAC and then the track. And as far as moving up and down next year, it will be all what it is now. But after next year, it'll be based on your ratings and your division rankings, and teams can move up and down. So, like a Sanger could move into the track, and someone could move out of the track.
Yeah.
And then for other sports, it'll be, you know, Central might not be in the track in some other sports. So it's based on what your rankings are. As far as, I don't know if it's Cal Preps, I don't know what the other sports use, but it's like a 2-year evaluation thing that they're doing where you can move up or down.
I mean, do you like it? Do you think it's necessary, or is that just, you know, you look at college football and how college football has gone with the, you know, the super conferences, like, you just think that that's just a trajectory that high school sports is going, or would you rather just have the standard track, CMAC, NYL, all the other leagues?
You know, if this thing works out the way it's supposed to, it's good, because I think it balances the power a little bit. because now Clovis Unified just doesn't run it. There's more balance because now you have Fresno Unified, Central Unified, Slayer Unified, Madera Unified. You got all these other districts who now have equal say, and it doesn't really matter how many teams they have in the league. My fear is that they are going to kick us out to the CMAC once Clovis South gets to its full strength and have the track just be all Clovis League, which I don't think is beneficial for them. But, you know, they do what they want to do. And that would put us in the CMAC. Now it's going to be a lot easier for me to find non-league games because now I just have to get all the Clovis schools on my schedule to play in the non-league. And it kind of makes that job easier. But now when we go to the CMAC, you know, I don't know if that's going to get us ready to get back into D1. Depending on who's in the CMAC and what's going on in the CMAC. But it's just the track is just it's a different brand of football. You got to show up every week. You know, it's just if you don't show up, you don't know what's going to happen on that night. And you can get out coached, you can get out played. It's just the track is it's a fun league to be in.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can't wait for it to begin. A couple more questions. Thanks to Coach Kyle Biggs for jumping on with us. You know, last time we talked was with the whole identity change. You might be sick about talking about it, right? Going from Central Grizzlies to the Central East Bengals and what that entails. I mean, got so many little things, the branding, the uniforms. Like, where are you at now? Like, is it, like, are you cool with it? Like, hey, it is what it is. I actually like our uniforms. Your helmets are really cool, by the way. Like, where are you with all of that? Is it a thing of the past or you've accepted it? Where do you stand?
I mean, right now it is what it is. Yeah, I mean, it still rubs me the wrong way, especially when I hear people say the other name, because that's who we were for so long and that's what we built for so long, and to have it just taken away from you, it just stings. So we tried to make the best of a bad situation. Obviously, you know, that's above my pay grade to make that decision. So we're just trying to make the best of it with the new helmets. And last night we broke out the white helmets. I don't know if you saw them, but they
– I didn't. Really cool. All right.
And then next year we'll get our Nike uniforms because it was too late by the time they told me I had to get new uniforms. So we don't have – it's not – we haven't fully rebranded yet. So until I get my Nike uniforms, then we'll be complete.
All right, a couple more questions for you. I know I said a couple more. Jalen Johnson and X, a little bit banged up. I think I heard on the Sports Center. I think Xavier has been ruled out for the next week. Like, what are you hearing about them? And you contacting them? You're like, hey guys, get healthy. What's the word on the street?
No, I send them my love. I know Jalen hurt his groin last week and it was bothering him. X is trying to fight back from the shoulder, and I just send him my love and cheer him on. I got X on a couple of my fantasy teams. I got the Bears defense on a couple of fantasy teams, but I don't bug them with that stuff, man. I'm just their biggest cheerleader.
That's awesome. Do you have a piece of memorabilia? You got anything signed by them, like a jersey or a helmet?
No, I have some cards and I have jerseys, but I haven't had them sign them yet. I don't want to bother them.
Yeah.
When they're done or whatever. I got plenty of time for it. I just want to make sure I have their jerseys and just keep watching them and keep hoping them and cheering them on.
Absolutely. All right. Final question, I promise. Finish this sentence. The Central East Bengals will win a Central Section D1AA championship if what?
We get back down to business, man. Get back to basics. Got to block and tackle. Just got to do simple things better. We're not doing that right now.
All right. Well, Kyle, thanks as always for coming on the show and talking with us. Have a great rest of the weekend. Rest up, and good luck the rest of the way.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
You bet. Coach Kyle Biggs of Central. One of the many things I love about Coach Biggs is his honesty. And right, you know, you go 4-1 and grade out your team and you say, yeah, we're a C right now. got a lot of stuff to work on. So he knows what it takes. He's a motivator, and he knows how to get the best out of his players. So we'll see, man. The track is going to be very, very interesting this year. You could make a case for each of these six schools to have a really good chance of winning the track this year. So lots of fun stuff to talk about. So, again, thanks to Coach Kyle Biggs for coming on. We're going to take a break. We got Phil Benanti on right now. He's here. He's here live at First String Sports. We were hanging out last night, 12 hours ago. We're hanging out, driving back from the Redwood and Hanford game. Phil's got a great perspective. We're going to be talking about rankings and what we've liked so far this season and all that good stuff that you listen to the show for. You're listening to it all on 1430 ESPN.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey,
how'd you know, Tamir? That was my jam. That and Whitesnake in the late 80s. Nothing like when Def Leppard would come on, right? You put your cassette tape in when you're going to lunch. Yeah, of course, at a Christian high school, right? You're going to Foster's Freeze or right, the local teriyaki place, and pop in some Def Leppard. So, brings me back to my glory days. All right, Phil Benanti sitting to my left. Phil, we spent a lot of time yesterday, man. We had a lot of fun. Behind the Bench is his show and broadcast partner.
Have seen me more in the last 24 hours than your wife?
100%. 100%. So, yeah, right. I get home last night, walk in, 11:40-ish. And, she's there. And she goes, how exhausted are you? I go, actually not too bad right now. And then, 20 minutes later, I was out. I fell asleep on the couch. I woke up. You wake up in strange spots. You take those naps sometimes. How long have I been asleep? When did I fall asleep? That was kind of last night. I woke up at, 1 and then went back to bed. But, anyway, yeah, just a wild past 24 hours of life, but a good wild life because hanging out with you, talking about football, watching good football games. I want to get your reaction, though, to Coach Kyle Biggs' interview. I think you heard it on the way here to First String Sports. Yep. He definitely doesn't sugarcoat things. He's a no-nonsense guy, right? Gives his Central Grizzlies. We're going to be talking about the rankings here. They're number one, but he gives them a C grade.
Oh, he certainly seemed like in a pleasant mood this morning after that game. Just talking about it. He's honest. He's keeping it honest, and I think it's for his players. I think he's keeping them in check. Going into a bye week, it's very important for this team to stay focused after what has been, I would say, an up and down non-league play. And now Kyle knows when track gets started, it's the sprint to the end. And you want to come out of that break feeling right and playing better.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some accountability I'm sure he's keeping with his team as they await the games in a few weeks from now.
Yeah, the bye week. It's a different animal, right? If you're playing good football, you hate the bye week. You want to, let's keep rolling. Let's keep the structure going. And if you're struggling a bit, if you got some things to work on, there's a lot to be said about looking forward to playing on the Friday. And when you're practicing and you don't have the Friday game and you get through the weekend and you're like, okay, now the real practice starts, that can be tough for a lot of high school teams.
Certainly can be tough, but it is part of the season. Everybody has a bye week in their schedule, and so it's their prerogative to use it the best of their ability, whether it's getting healthy or mentally healthy for the rest of their season. So
last night, you and I traveled down the 99 to Visalia for our first trip to the Mineral King Bowl. Cool atmosphere, first of all. I loved it. And I was wrong and a little bit right about the stadium, right? We kind of drove by COS. I'm like, I thought I remember seeing a football field at COS, and then you see the Giant there.
Yeah,
At Mineral King Bowl, and I did read that the Giant, the COS did play there, but they do have their own stadium.
They do have their own stadium. Yeah. I think it's relatively newer in the side of things, but yeah.
Okay, so a lot of preconceived notions about how last night's Redwood and Heifer game was going to play out, and what the heck do we know? What do I know, right? So just kind of your overall assessment of last night's game.
Yeah, it was about the fundamentals last night, and some teams executing fundamentals better than others. And honestly, creating points off the defense and special teams is something that really can lead to a lot of success for teams that are trying to win football games. And specifically, you can point to two exact direct plays that led to Redwood winning by, 13 was the margin, two touchdowns, one off a block punt in the end zone and one off of a pick six. It was defense and special teams for Redwood that got it done when it feels like Redwood's been trying to get it done through the offensive side and trying to keep pace with a lot of those big shootout performances. You look at Redwood's schedule, they were in a battle with Union putting up 40 plus points. They were in a battle with Clovis North putting up 34, I think, in that game as well. And so you expect it to just be back and forth, but last night was just kind of a stunting game. I feel like the safety messed everything up. I feel like it put the game off kilter when they had the safety and the holding penalty
in
the end
zone. Yeah.
And suddenly the game had a little bit of a different feel as opposed to the free flow of what would be a back-and-forth football game.
And you're right. Hanford would be the first to admit that, you know, the four turnovers, the mistakes that they made, you know, ultimately cost them the football game. But I was pretty impressed, Phil, with Hanford's defense.
Yeah, I think both teams' defenses really showed up to play. Hanford's defense did not give up 28 points last night. I want to make that very clear. Hanford's defense, I think, realistically, if you really want to put it together, seven. I would say 7 points
drive.
For that final drive where Luke Sanchez put it on the back of his jersey and made it happen and with his legs. And impressive. By the way, Redwood started a drive with first and 25 after a big, tough penalty on the sideline, and they were able to overcome that. That was the big key to the game last night, in my opinion, and Redwood overcoming that adversity. Luke Sanchez, very impressive down the stretch, made the plays when they needed to, especially when Hanford was keying in on Jimmy Burke.
Yeah.
I've never seen a team bottle up Jimmy Burke as good as Hanford did last night. So props to Hanford for their battle last night. It's just cleaning up the other areas, making sure things are executed. Those givens, Paul, we talked about a couple weeks ago with Oregon State and Fresno State, the givens that you just think are going to just work. And suddenly when that's not working, your whole mechanic doesn't work. Your whole system doesn't work.
Well, I mean, we think that, but what about the coaches, man? They probably had the different game plan as well. And they're
right.
Like, oh, we got to make some adjustments here and there and,
exactly.
And try to win this football game. So Hanford the rest of the way, they have the bye, and then they face a pretty hot Dinuba team. Now that game takes it on a little different meaning. And then Tulare Union, Tulare Western, Mission Oak, and then the rivalry game against Lemoore. Redwood has Porterville, Menachi, Golden West. That's going to be a really good game, LD. And then their rivalry game against Mount Whitney. I think both these teams that we saw last night, right, they're going to be competitors in that Division One A bracket, right, mm-hmm. That second nine, I guess you could say. I think they're going to be – they could be players in that game. You know, you got Bakersfield Christian, Bakersfield probably in those as well, but – right, I think they can make runs. There's some pieces there.
Certainly, I think obviously the teams at their current state right now, I think they understand they need to improve on stuff. And I know they both have buys coming up after mm-hmm. this week, so that's a nice little reset for both teams to get into it with league play. Head to heads are going to matter certainly when it comes to this, and so Redwood grabbing that last night over Hanford was a big plus for them. It's going to be interesting to see where they go down the stretch and how they look in league play. I'm very curious about that Dinuba-Hanford game. Dinuba is a team that has been dangerous this season. We've seen it. We may dive into it a little bit later. But league play is not a given for both of these teams, I would say, you know, in terms of Union being on the side of Hanford's side. And then on Redwood's side, I look at a Golden West team that's been really fun to watch this season and can be dangerous as well. So there is tough battles moving forward, but it's how they respond to those tough battles that can get them ready for the playoffs.
All right. So speaking of playoffs, right, sometimes we talk too early about this, rankings and who's going to be in what division and all that. But after five games, we've got a pretty good sample size.
For sure.
And highschoolratings, .com is where the central section gets their seeds for the playoffs. So let's take a look here, Phil. I have it up. It populated last night. Mm-hmm. You always look at the records to see, oh, yeah, they did it. So it's up to date. Number one, According to Coach Kyle Biggs, he gives them a C, but they are the number one team still at the top of high school ratings. 4-1 record. Their rating, total rating, is 40.5. They take into account the schedule strength. Opponents win and loss record. I did not notice that until this morning. 5-18. That's going to change in the track.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. But the gap has now changed. There is gaps if you look at it. Kind of, I guess you'd call them chunks. Clovis North is number two at 4-0. Strength of schedule, though, only at a, sitting at a 5.1. Clovis East by that measure, or Central East, gosh darn it, Paul, 18.8. But Tanvir was at the game, gave a nice synopsis of what their strengths are. But Broncos, we're going to see them next week, but at number two.
This game, and we'll talk about it maybe next Friday as well, but with Clovis North, I mean, obviously they're the only team without a loss, I believe, in the track other than Buchanan. But we have this belief that I think Clovis North's obviously transforming as a different team. It's not really easy to kind of prep against them. There is tape on them, but like we said, it's a whole new coaching staff, a whole new, sounds like, style of the way we've seen Clovis North play before. Like I said, you look at the resume. Yeah, you know, Memorial's kind of a little more down this year. CVC, we've heard, is pretty down this year as well. I heard good things about this San Ramon Valley team. I saw some rankings in terms of that, and they were coming in with a decent record. But North obviously looking like they could handle them. And Redwood, a battle. And that's tough going down there as well and winning a game like that with the caliber of players. I mean, like I said, Redwood's defense can get on you in terms of it. So North's going to be very interesting. Like I said, it's hard to gauge. I've really liked what they've done. Obviously, the opponent record's not going to help with Frontier coming in at 1-3 on the year. If they beat them, they get a 1-4. But like I said, this is such a massive, interesting game because Frontier has that head-to-head over at Clovis, and we thought Clovis were world beaters in terms of it. And maybe alluding to what Kyle Biggs said earlier, weird things happen down in the South Valley when you go down there. So how much of that was factored into a Clovis loss at Frontier? But regardless, Frontier has the win. If Frontier beats Clovis North, then I really don't know what to make of what this season will look like in terms of it. But if North does beat Frontier, then I think we really have to legitimately say Clovis North is a team to factor into a track title.
Number three is Clovis High, sitting at 4-1. Clovis West is at 4-1. Again, strength of schedule and opponents win-loss record for Clovis, only 7-13 opponents record, 7-17 for Clovis West. Then there's that Frontier game, that Jekyll and Hyde team that we're not sure about. We'll find out more next week at 1-3, but that strength of schedule is the best in the central section, 38.5.
Frontier really battling a big team in like Oak Ridge out of El Dorado Hills. Who do they have? Liberty High of Brentwood was a big team that they did a battle with as well. We looked up Lincoln of San Diego, and that game seemed to be close for a little bit from Frontier side of things.
I think so, maybe at 14-14.
Yeah. And going down there and keeping it tight with them for a while. Lincoln, supposedly a top 75 team in the national rankings in terms of it for high school football. So it feels like Frontier is a team trending up despite the record, the 1-3 record. Feels like Frontier is getting stronger as the season goes.
Bakersfield sitting at 6, 5-0. What's interesting about this, Phil, is I have it on good authority that highschoolratings.com does not count forfeit wins.
Yeah.
So if you look down at Buchanan at number 10, they're still sitting at 3-1, even though they're 4-1.
They're technically 4-0. Such a strange thing to do. Hey. What do you do? What do you go with? Do you say Buchanan's 4-0? What do you say?
Here's the thing. Doesn't this make sense in the world of that doesn't make sense right now? Common sense would say the forfeit win should count in Buchanan's favor because if you didn't play by the rules. You didn't play, but you used a player that wasn't supposed to play in the game. You gained an advantage.
Exactly. So
I don't know why.
I agree with you there. I think there's a little
hiccup.
I think that needs to be revealed. I don't know who controls that. If it's this ranking entity that goes through it. I don't know if CIF has any say in that kind of decision, but I feel like that's an interesting discussion.
Okay, so Bakersfield at 6, Bakersfield Christian, 4-0. They're beating up a lot of opponents. Their strength of schedule, not good. It's actually a negative 10.9, which a little surprised by that. 3-15.
Yeah.
But their schedule does get tougher.
They got Union, I think, next week. That's going to be a massive game.
Massive game. That's going to tell us a lot for on both sides. Clovis East at 8, I think. Right?
Would you put them ahead of Bakersfield? I put Clovis East right next to Clovis High, in my opinion, in terms of their caliber. If I did eye tests or resume, and this is a committee voting on everything, I'd put Clovis East at 3, maybe right above Clovis in terms of the way they played that Grant game. Even though I know Clovis or Central East had a little struggles against Grant, I just feel like Clovis East has a knack of making plays when they need to on defense. And you don't get that a lot from high school side of things. It's a lot about outscoring the opponent. Clovis East is winning a different way than we remember last year, and it's fascinating to watch. I know we got a game in a couple weeks with that one, and I think they've had a fantastic, fantastic non-track season.
It's been better than I thought.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Yeah, and how about this, right? So the Kingsburg game, Clovis East went to Kingsburg. Kingsburg had them beat, 10-6, I think, at halftime. Quarterback got hurt. So lots of comparative stuff that we could talk about for hours. Then there's Tulare Union sitting
at
number 9.
This is my favorite team sitting here. I love watching what they're doing. 4-0.
Yeah.
I have stock. I have a lot of stock in Tulare Union right now.
Let me go to my spreadsheet here. So moving forward, so you mentioned that Bakersfield Christian game, which is going to be huge next week. Bakersfield Christian.
They beat St. Joe's. Who else beat St. Joe's this year? Paul,
I think nobody.
That's simply where I'm at. They went and beat St. Joe's, and nobody's been able to move the ball on St. Joe's other than Tulare Union this year.
27 points they put up at St. Joe's. And then Lemoore, Hanford, Mission Oak, Dinuba, Tulare Western. That is Tulare's rest of their season. All right, let's go back here. So there's Buchanan sitting at 10.
Someone had 3-1
here,
Paul. We won't say who.
Someone had him at 1. Well, that's what track play is for, right?
Hey, we'll see how the games play.
After 5 weeks of track, we'll find out who's the top dog.
Exactly.
All right, then there's your St. Joe's at 11. What I like about, again, highschoolratings.com, I like that they put the divisions right there, so I don't have to go back to the CIFcentralsection.com and find the base division. So there's St. Joe's base D1. I think a lot of people think they're base D2, so they're locked in. They're locked in D1.
I wonder where St. Joe's will settle in that one. Would they go to the 1AA, right?
I don't think they'll be in the 1AA.
Is St. Joe, are they going to be a top four in that league, or do you think they're going to be in like the 6th seed spot if they continue where they're going?
Obviously,
they could run through their league. I think that's an assumption.
Yeah, I think they could be a top 3 seed in that one single A.
So, like somebody like a Clovis East could go on. I don't know. I'm trying to think of where we would settle. Or like a Buchanan. Or
a Buchanan could,
or
Tulare Western, Bakersfield.
Liberty, Bakersfield, or Tulare, okay.
Yeah. There's our Golden West. Talked to Coach Anderson. Good convo with him at 12.
Like watching them.
They're locked in probably as a one seed in D3.
Yeah.
If they don't trip up this season. There's Redwood. Redwood is base D2, so they're going to stick in D2. Liberty of Bakersfield, 0-5. They are base D1.
Look at that strength of schedule, though, Paul. Look at that one.
The 32.7?
You give them credit for that a little bit. They were right up there. It was another Bakersfield school that had the tough strength. I think it was Frontier.
Well, Liberty. Yeah. I mean, Frontier.
Yeah, so.
Frontier. Shafter, then Bullard, then Kennedy, who's 4-1,
strange.
Base D3. So how about, you know, Kennedy's looking pretty strong team.
Strange year for Kennedy. They had a weird loss.
Well, they beat Hanford.
Oh, yeah, Buchanan. Buchanan handled them pretty good.
So. Oh, they did.
Yeah.
They did. That was a 31-6 game. God, we're running against the clock already, Phil. I'm getting a text from Tanvir. You guys better wrap this stuff up. All right. So, right, league play is going to tell us a lot.
Who comes
down on top of the track? You know, all this talk about different styles of offensive, comparative scores, it's going to be settled on the field.
There will be a few surprises for sure. I don't think we know anything really in this high school. I have not had a good feel on this high school season whatsoever, and I'll declare.
And there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's cool. That's what makes it exciting and fun, and talking about all
exactly.
This. Exactly. All right. So we got couple minutes. We've got to do a little Fresno State talk.
Yes.
Game's at 9 o'clock, kicks off. I don't know where I'm going to watch the game. I'm hearing from you, like, it's not on Comcast, not on this.
Mountain West Network, streamed app, whatever it is, but I think it's mobile only. I don't know. Everyone tinker with your phones tonight, or tinker with your Mountain West.
I think what's going to happen is people are going to turn on, you know, the station they're used to watching it on, or pushing the C button like I do, where all the sports stuff pops up, and you're going to try to find it that way.
No.
You're going to be mad.
Yep.
And then And then maybe by 9:42 tonight, people are going to be able to watch some Fresno State football.
I got to get a nap in today. I've got a scheduled nap ready for this, as we are probably going to be into 12:45 this evening. We hope the game's out of hand by then.
Well, it's no different than last night.
Exactly.
You and I.
Just on the comfort of the couch. So.
All right. Do you have a prediction? What do you want to see real quick?
I need to see them tackle a little bit better tonight. It's going to be a lot of quick passing, a lot of open space for Hawaii's offense. I need this defense to maybe take some better angles. Southern got a little bit frisky on that. So want to see that. I think I'm paying attention more to the defensive side tonight in terms of the ball. I think our run game will do what it needs to do. But the defense needs to tackle tonight.
And like with Clovis and Central heading down to Bakersfield for football games, strange things always happen. Strange things always happen to Fresno State when we go to Hawaii. Let's just smash them. Let's just
give me a reason to go to bed before midnight.
Though. There you go. I like it. All right, Phil. Great stuff as always. Thanks for coming to the First String Sports.
Paul.
Appreciate it. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Forgot to mention them. First String Sports, Tanvir for producing the show. Travis Anderson, Kyle Biggs, and of course, Phil Bonatti. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.